Put that on the president and the board trustees, a billion souls. And how we're going to do that, we're praying and working. There's over a million saved every year face to face. But there's certain parts of the world we want to penetrate. Europe's one. It's so dark there. EMC has a church in Paris. We've got good works in Hungary, as you all well know, and other places. But a uniting in these last days for a billion people to come to Christ. Why not? The sovereign Lord has anointed us, the Spirit of God. And why do we feast on scraps? We could be at the feast table. So we're going to investigate this passage of Scripture in 3 points. First of all, what believers receive, what believers become, secondly, and what believers accomplish. So let's just kind of walk through this passage together. In verse 3a, it says they are to, well, I've read all those, provide freedom for the captives, bind up the brokenhearted, release from darkness for those, the prisoners, and down to the latter part of 2, to comfort all who mourn, provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty. And that crown of beauty, 2 Corinthians 3 says, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory. And we are being transformed into his likeness with an ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Again, the Holy Spirit. There is a crown of beauty that is to be seen in us, the church of Jesus Christ. And that's what we read in this passage about the Lord, and the descendants will be known among the nations, their offspring among the peoples, verse 9, and all who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. That's who we are. And we walk around poor and down at the mouth and fearful. It doesn't matter who's in the White House. Well, it does matter. But it doesn't change the kingdom of God. It doesn't hinder my faith. Because everything I read here that was written, they had evil emperors in charge and evil men and corruption and all kinds of things happening. And the church blossomed. Why? Because the church knew who owned them. And they knew the challenge. A crown of beauty will be on us. He says an oil and then a oil of gladness. To bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. An oil of gladness instead of mourning. Sometimes we pastors can get so down on Monday mornings or sometime during the week and say, oh, is this ever going to change? Are we ever going to reach this city for Christ? You know, I will drive through Morgantown and I know the spiritual strongholds and I'm thankful for the prayer and the pastors who try and get united and things. But there's still that darkness here, and it grieves my heart. An oil of gladness instead of mourning. Zechariah said in chapter 4, this is the word of the Lord, Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. What are you, O mighty mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become level ground. And then a little bit later, he says, what are these two olive trees on the right and left? These are the two who are anointed to serve the Lord of the earth. This oil of gladness instead of mourning, I used to interpret that had to do with praise and worship. I don't think so anymore. I think that has to do with anointing for spiritual warfare. That there's the oil of gladness that comes out of Zechariah. That's the scriptural context. And there is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And you, O mountain, who are you to stand in front of Zerubbabel? And you, O evil in Morgantown, who are you to stand in front of covenant from piercing that darkness? It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And in the Old Testament, he needed a person. And this is the way God always works. Even today, he needs a person. He found Abraham. He needed a people. He multiplied. He needed a place from which he could multiply the message and the glory of God. A person, a people, and a place. And you see that with Jerusalem, Abraham, people of Israel, Jerusalem, the promised land. You see that here, and in any church that's planted, of which God's doing the planting, you find some leaders, a pastor and some leaders, then you find some people and eventually some land. And the difficulty is that sometimes we sit on the land and forget what we were here for. Or we shrink it down because we're evangelicals and believe in God's word, but we shrink it down so it's not as challenging and as hard. And I hate mediocrity. In fact, I just remembered something I told you when we got in this building. I said, if we ever get lazy and mediocrity, I'll burn it down and start over. I did say that. I hope the insurance agent isn't listening. It was a joke. But the point is, this oil of gladness, I think it's there. It's an anointing. The Spirit of the Lord, the Sovereign Lord, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord has been given to us to do these things. So that's what believers receive. Now look what they become. In verse 3b, they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. A planting of the Lord, that means not human effort. That's not human origin. A planting of the Lord. Too often we try to program the Holy Spirit into our midst. Now I'm all for programming and organizing, you know that. You got to have all that. But at the source, it has to be something that God is breathing into that church uniquely for them and for what God wants to do. A planting of the Lord, and they will be called oaks of righteousness. Paul said to Timothy, find trustworthy people that you can pour yourselves into who will establish the ministry. And I've been blessed to see God doing that work. I see it in the larger picture of the EMC denomination. I can see it in some of the countries we're involved in. I see it at One Mission Society. It's the same principle. I'm so glad I learned it early just to enjoy watching it happen. But God raises up people. And when there's a need, he raises up someone. And so in a local church, he's going to establish with oaks of righteousness, and I will not name names, but he gave us oaks of righteousness here. That's why you're here. There were some things in which through the difficult times and the storms coming through, they stood. Let me tell you something about oak trees. They're usually large in size. They can reach 70 feet in height, 9 feet in width. Sometimes their branches are 135 feet in length. One of the biggest oaks we have in the United States is 45 feet tall and 35 feet wide, 90 feet diameter. They're strong. An oak tree can require a lot of water per day. It can absorb 50 gallons of water every day. Didn't know that. Oaks produce male and female flowers. Male flowers are arranged in clusters called catkins, and female flowers are much smaller. An oak tree is ready for reproduction. Oaks of righteousness in a church and people are ready for reproduction. The fruit of the oak is the acorn, and it starts at age 20 or to 50 years. They can produce 2,000 acorns every year, but it says only 1 in 10,000 actually managed to develop into an oak tree. An oak tree is very strong and hard. It's used for ships, furniture, Yamaha drums. It's used for the manufacture of barrels for storing wine and whiskey. I thought you'd want to know that. In other words, it gives an aroma, a special aroma to those things. And I thought about that. Yeah, we're the aroma of Christ. We're the display of his splendor. These oaks of righteousness that God is a planting of the Lord will reflect Christ and be preserving an aroma for Christ. Most species of oaks live over 200 years. Now, we're not going to do that. In fact, all of us are walking a little slower, as I observed this morning. But they are planted and they survive. You know what an acorn is and those kinds of things, but let me share you something else. There is something called oak rot in the roots, and you've seen oak trees just suddenly fall over. There's a rot that can get in oak rot. But at the same time, a serious threat among oaks is there's a self-defense. Trees are masters at self-defense. Scientists have found that when attacked by insects, the trees will flood their leaves with chemicals called phenonics. And these noxious compounds are distasteful to tree pests and can even impede their growth. What's amazing is that once a tree is attacked, they say there's a signal to other nearby oaks who also start their own self-defense mechanism. I wonder why the Lord chose oaks of righteousness. I see many things in that analogy of a person of faith who stands, who's strong, who reflects Christ, who alerts others to disease, who warns of the wolves coming, but stands and displays the splendor of the Lord. Then in 62:1-4, let me read that. I remember the chapters here were put in later, 1500 AD. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain silent till her righteousness shines out like the dawn and her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your righteousness and all the kings your glory, and you will be called by a new name. We're to be the light to the world. The nations, the peoples of the world are to see the glory of God reflected in his people. He says it'll be like a blazing torch. And what are they going to see? They're going to see the character of Christ in us. That's what they have to see. They have to see the ministry of Christ through us. And that means meeting the needs of the poor, binding up the brokenhearted, preaching and proclaiming the year of the Lord. But for we, the church, where the Holy Spirit comes, he transforms us. And that's not by merit, not by anything we've done. You can't earn your way to heaven. You can't come to God and say, okay, God, I've been pretty good, let me in. Plus, my name was in the annual church conference book. Look here, Lord, let me in. Or I was baptized, let me in. No, it's by the blood of Christ, and it's by faith, and it's all his work, and it's his bride and his church. It's not mine, it's not yours, it's his. This church is not Ed Williamson's. That always gives me a shiver sometimes. I don't hear it very much anymore, thank goodness. But just a shiver inside me, I think, no, it's not. And I didn't want to be mean or obnoxious, but no, it's not my church. It's his. And it's a planting of the Lord for his splendor. Now, what will believers accomplish? Verse 4, they will rebuild the ancient ruins. What are you, O mighty mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become level ground. And then you'll bring capstones to the shouts. You'll rebuild the ancient ruins. I've seen lives changed here. We used to have a little slogan, this is a place of new beginnings. And it was. Lives that have been ruined and devastated over years. Come. And there was an anointing here. And people to love them and care for them. And there were oaks of righteousness. And they were changed. You're going to restore, it says, and restore the places long devastated. Don't you love to see it when someone's life, they've made wrong choices and the devil's just run over them, and to see them restored and new in Christ? Is there anything better other than holding a new grandbaby, maybe? Is there anything better? There's nothing better. And he says, I raised you up, covenant, to be that instrument, to restore, to minister, to be anointed and rebuild in people's lives what the devil has destroyed and the world has destroyed. And he says, restore the places long devastated. I thought of Timothy. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. Timothy, stir up the fire that's inside you. The gift that you were given through the laying on of my hands and others, stir that up. And he says later, by the help of the Holy Spirit. Again, it's nothing you and I can do. That's why I love your prayer room. Thank you. It's going to be by prayer. And it's going to be by the work of the Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me. And because He has anointed me, these things are going to happen. And if He's anointed you, He's waiting for those things to happen. But what's He waiting on? He's waiting on you and me. People that will respond. People who will be available for what He wants. And he says here, they will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. I am sick and tired of generational curses and junk passed down to the next generation when the power of the gospel of Christ could be passed down. And that's what we're to be doing together. God wants a place like that. He has places like that. That you're to be a place like that. And the result is, they'll be called the priest of the Lord. Verse 6. Oh my. Don't just take that word lightly. Priest of the Lord. It's a great honor to be a priest, Old Testament priest. Enter the Holy of Holies, the holy place, to offer the sacrifices. And he says, you're going to be a priest to the Lord. And we now know that we're all priests to the Lord, the priesthood of all believers, that we all have access through the blood of Christ into the very throne room of God Almighty. How long has it been since you've been in there? Maybe that's why there's no anointing. I think that's why you have breathed deeply. Your pastor had a burden for that. To where God would breathe again upon us here. I believe God said, I will raise up a people and a church that allow me to fulfill my desire for children, for youth, for young adults, for families. And he says, you'll feed on the wealth of the nations, and in their riches you will boast. And God's going to give you a double portion, and your descendants will be known among the nations, and their offspring among the people. God says, I will do such a work here that it'll move out into the nations. I will fund that. I will enable you to have the wealth to do those things. When you have your priorities in line and you're trusting God and your fingerprints are not on it, God will channel every financial need and wealth that you need to accomplish His goals. He's just waiting for people to line up with His agenda. And the point this morning is, you're anointed to do it. But so often, some of us fall in the trap like Esau and we trade our inheritance for something quick. Like a pot of porridge or stew or quick oats. We trade off the best that God has for us. Let me turn back to Isaiah 54 for a moment. A lot of covenant came out of Isaiah because that's where I was. We'll kind of wrap this up. Isaiah 54:13. I always do, Ren and I always knew that God would do a work, and we saw it in New York City as well. So you had first-time believers, a work of which would carry on, and it would enter the lives of families. Vista had been in there, and I forget the other government programs in the late 60s and then in 1970 that they tried to have in the inner cities. And we went to the Bronx, Hunts Point Avenue, Fox Street, 3 murders a day. David Wilkerson, and they said, no, you'll never last here. Nobody lasts here. We'll give you 30 days. We were there 3-4 years. There was such an anointing in that place that there was one time we were walking up the street, the staff was coming. We'd go after lunch, and you'd stay late because that's when everything was alive, you know, and 200 drug addicts on the street. But they were drug addicts already high and on the stoop and stuff, and they're bumping one another and running up the stairs and going back up the stoop and back in the high rise. And we asked some of our converted believers, said, what's going on? They said, oh, well, you guys keep coming through and touching them and praying for them, and they lose their high. We didn't know that. The Spirit of the Lord is on you. To touch the blind, to set the captive free. And here in 54, it says, all your sons will be taught by the Lord, verse 13, and great will be your children's peace. It should be a place of peace for kids. This culture needs a safety place for kids. And only God can provide that, and only God can provide it through people. And the promise here that they'll be taught by who? The Lord. Yeah, we need our Sunday school teachers. We thank you for everyone, especially the ones that put up with my kids and still survive. But here it says, by the Lord. In other words, that Sunday school teacher, that lesson, the Spirit of the Lord will be here in those rooms and everywhere you are, and He will be internalizing those truths in their lives. It's not just you teaching or you preaching. It's the Lord that promises to do that. And then 61:11 that we've read, for as the soil makes the sprout come up in a garden, causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before the nations. It's covenant's DNA. It's your DNA. Children's ministries, youth ministries, young adult, all those things coming together in a powerful, anointed way to minister here in Morgantown, but never to stay here, never to stay within these walls, but to go out, and people here going into ministry and going into missions and all of those things. And then Morgantown's full of immigrants and foreign students, have been for all these years. And now across the United States, we're just being flooded in so many ways. It's a whole different day. God's helping us. But for you. And so the DNA was all of those things, but early it was missions. And it was, if we knew if we got God's agenda in place, God would build the church. It was never dependent on us. It was always on Him and His agenda. And every time we could keep clear on His agenda, keep our fingerprints off of it, keep our hearts pure and unified, the church would explode in ministry. People's lives would be changed. And so often we'd pray and we need someone in children's ministry, and that's because some people aren't listening very well. And God's deposited something in you. And He wants to work and use you. Maybe, you know, I got a great burden for young adults. I travel, young adults in the EMC, we've always had trouble. There's only a few years here when I was here that we had a powerful young adult ministry, and it happened. And it was something God did, and it started in a prayer meeting with the board of stewards and weeping before God as we were setting our priorities. And I remember Bill Lawson just weeping before the Lord and Bond. And you know, the next day we started having college students come to the warehouse. Finally, we had a whole school bus load of college students in for Sunday school meeting in the bus because we had no room in the warehouse. And that electrified all kinds of things. It started in prayer with the leadership, with the Oaks of Righteousness. We started tithing immediately, setting apart not just for missions, but for church multiplication, and felt that God was calling us to reach North Central West Virginia and beyond. We centered on North Central West Virginia, and then in a few years started the mission conferences, but we multiplied churches, and you've got Kingdom in Westover, and you've got down in Jane Lou area, and you've got Preston County, and there's some more to be birthed. There's more. So the table is set, the DNA is there, the anointing is there. God just says, who's going to line up? Who's going to open their hearts and say, Lord, yes, you're speaking to me right now. I should be doing this. This is on my heart. You know, God will give you a country to pray for, and he'll put a passion in your heart for that country. And if he does, many times he sends you there. I had one for China, but I never got to China. But there's been all other countries. There'll be a youth group, a children's ministry. Karen Connor, I remember when she was sitting over there, and we needed the youth, and Loretta and I had poured ourselves in the youth, had taken over the youth program, and we were praying, and that Sunday, I think maybe Loretta gave the appeal. I always try to use her because she could, you know, knock you down and knock it out of the park. And I remember preaching and watching and looking at Karen over there, and I thought, yeah, it's happening, Lord. It's inside her. And she came to the altar. She came to Loretta and I, said, the Lord's speaking to my heart. How many years did she do that? Long time. And you've got ministry going to New York City as a result of that and other kinds of things. One person. One person. And now she's in a church plant. You know, God just needs you. And you can't say, oh, I can't do that. Well, first of all, you can't do that, but he can through you. And there's a place for you. There's something for you to do. There's a place for you. And I don't want you to give up and miss out on what God has the best for you. We need to make an impact as never before he comes back. We've got to surrender to him, got to yield to him. We've got to unite together under his banner and receive that anointing and call to follow him. So today, what's he speaking to your heart? I know you're giving faith promises, and you know, that's over and beyond what you even think you can do. And God always blesses that in your family. You need to do that. But maybe there's something within the walls of the church. Maybe it's beyond the walls of the church. He's speaking to you about missions. And in some way, you need to do that. Maybe it's just simply your neighbor you need to go talk to. I don't know. But today, would you be refreshed? Would you receive that fresh anointing from God? Let it stir that which is already in the church and is inside some of you that needs to be stirred up and set aflame for ministry and renewed in this day, because it's the day of the Lord's favor. And he needs you to be clean and on fire and renewed for him to use. And then he'll come back. I'm very ready for that. But I'm very passionate about touching as many people's lives as we can while here. Let's pray together. Lord, there's big, great, wonderful Oaks of Righteousness here. There's people that you're stirring in their hearts and reminding them. You've gifted them. You've given them talents. And I pray now they just release them to you with an open hand. I say, Lord, how do you want to use me? I pray for fresh anointing in the wonderful name of Jesus. The anointing that's already there. The gifts that are already there by the help of the Holy Spirit would be stirred up with them as it was in Timothy. I pray, Lord, that you'll raise up ministries that will give glory and honor to you. We agree with this word that, Lord, you will teach our children. We'll stand there and be the vessels, but you will teach them. You will internalize it. You will establish them to be a voice of their generation and not be devoured by the enemy. Oh God, today in our midst, have your way. Visit us, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Pastor Nathan, if you'll come and